We are thrilled to be able to welcome you to our services on this Lord's Day evening. And tonight, we again are very, very blessed to have those who are visiting with us. And I hope that you'll always, always want to come back and worship with us anytime you have an opportunity. Got some good news to pass along to you for just a minute. Tomorrow, Brother Charlie Klein will be celebrating his 89th birthday. Now, he's still got a ways to go to catch up with Brother Gray, but 89 years old, that's a grand accomplishment. He told me a few minutes ago he's got to start on some more digits tomorrow. So congratulations to him. What is a genuine Christian? I think that's something that we need to consider. I think we ought to be challenged as to whether or not we are a genuine Christian as we think about what a genuine Christian actually is. You know, many times we can be taken in by those things that are counterfeit in life. I'll give you an example. I have on me, and I just got this thing Friday. How many of y'all are familiar with these power balance bracelets? Raise your hand if you've got one on tonight. Or how many familiar with them? I know Brother Manuel's got his on. Now, I think this is a pretty power balance bracelet. It's red. It's white. I like that. I chose that color. And it looks good. It's got that little thing right there just like it's supposed to have. But you know, I ordered this online. Came from China. I think I ordered it from China for $1.99 on eBay. That's including shipping. That's a pretty good deal, even for just a piece of plastic, in my opinion. And of course, these bracelets, if you go to Olympia Sports right down the road here, you'll pay $31 for one of these things. Now, I don't know how many of you have taken the tests about what these things are able to do. It supposedly works with your frequency. In your body. I'm not going to go into a scientific explanation of it, but I've taken the test, and I believe it works. I believe it does what it says it will do. So I wanted one of these things, and I thought, man, you can't beat it for $1.99. Philip said he'd want one, whether it was counterfeit or not, just for how it looks. You think you got one anyway. Well, if I'm going to wear one of these things, I want to make sure it works. And so I've gone online over the weekend to see if and what makes a genuine power balance bracelet. How can you tell? I really couldn't find anything. I didn't take a lot of time to look online, but you know, I did go to a couple of sites. But what I decided to do is I left earlier this afternoon, me and Mallory, we stopped by Olympia Sports where they sell them. I thought I can find out whether this is genuine. So I asked the fella. I said, how can you tell? I know y'all sell these here. I said, how can you tell whether or not these power balance bracelets are genuine or not? So he said, well, looky here. And if you look there in the, I don't even know what you call that there, but the little round thing, it's kind of like the aluminum on a ticket. You can tell if it's genuine or not. He says, if you look there and look closely, you'll see the word genuine all the way through several times in small letters. Mine doesn't have it. Now, he said some of the older bracelets never had them to start with. Now, there's still hope. This is not old right here. But maybe that Chinese guy over there got a hold of some old ones that were new and sold them for $1.99. So if anybody wants me to help me out tonight to figure out whether or not this is genuine, you can help me out. I'd appreciate it very much. But how can I tell if I'm a genuine Christian or not? If I'm the real thing? I think over in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, we can look at a little formula there that might at least begin to give us an idea whether or not I'm a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 24, and Josh, of course, tonight read the account from Luke, Luke 9 and verse 23. The Bible says here, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me. If anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You know, there are many reasons today why people fail to invest in a life of discipleship. There are many reasons out there why people choose not to be a follower of Jesus Christ. For some people, it may be a lack of passion. They really may not desire spiritual things. They may not have a passion for what God has done for them. Many other people are just simply too busy. Their everyday routines, their schedule, they've got so many things going on, they really don't even have time to consider Jesus and being a follower of His. Other people, sad to say, have a great love for the world. The Bible warns us. 1 John chapter 2, for instance, about loving the world and the things that are in the world. And some people love material things. They think they can be satisfied with silver and gold and by possessions. Some people fail to invest in a life of discipleship because they're satisfied with the status quo. Where they are right now, they don't consider really improving. They don't consider examining themselves to see where they are. Other people just simply have misplaced priorities. Maybe their job is more important than anything else, or their recreational activities are more important, or even family. And they never really consider their spiritual relationship with God. Some people are more satisfied with the process than with the product. A lot of people have the idea, yes, I've been baptized, I've become a Christian, but they never see the need to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They don't mature into that individual that is a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. But tonight, very quickly, I want us to define discipleship according to this passage by just simply briefly breaking it down. First of all, Jesus said, if discipleship is conditional, it is a choice that each one of us must make. It's up to you, it's up to me to decide whether or not we're going to follow Jesus Christ. And it also is conditional in that we need to meet the Lord's terms to be His disciple. You know, there's varying ideas out of the religious world about how one becomes a Christian, about how one follows Jesus Christ. Some people say, you know, just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or just pray this particular prayer and ask God to come into your heart and you'll be saved. Just believe in Jesus Christ and you can have salvation, and you give your life to the Lord and you can be His disciple. But I remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 31. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And so it's those that continue in God's word, obey God's word, and are faithful and submissive to God's will that are the Lord's disciples. Becoming a disciple is not complicated. On the day of Pentecost, those folks in Acts 2 and 36 asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The Bible says in verse 41, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so being a disciple of Jesus Christ is conditional. And then let me suggest to you that discipleship is for anyone. It is open to all people, regardless of race, regardless of your educational background, regardless of your social class. It doesn't matter where you are in this world. Salvation is offered to anyone and everyone. I know in our world today, it sometimes is a little bit nauseating to see how politics works. You know, it's who you know if you're going to get somewhere in this life. But being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not like that. The Bible says in Mark 12 and 37 that the common people heard Jesus gladly. Many times it's those who don't have this world's goods that are more receptive to Jesus Christ. Discipleship is available for anyone. And then Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me to be my disciple, let him deny himself. I have to be totally committed to Jesus Christ and to his standards, to his values, and to his will. That just simply means I must surrender my will to God's will. The Bible says that we are to deny ourselves. Selfishness is something that plagues our society today. Selfishness is a barrier that prevents many people from being happy, focusing on self. Instead, we need to focus on God. We need to focus on what He wants us to do in our lives. And we need to have the attitude that Samuel expressed in the Old Testament, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." That beautiful song we sing sometime, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give." Now that's an easy song to sing, isn't it? It's much more difficult for it to become a part of our lives. To be a disciple of Jesus, we must be totally committed to His way of life. And then may I suggest as well that the Bible says we need to take up His cross. And that requires personal sacrifice. When Jesus Christ bore His cross, that was a cross of great shame. It was a cross of humiliation. It was a cross of persecution. Jesus died the death of a common criminal. In fact, Isaiah prophesied about the humiliation that Jesus Christ would experience in that horrible death on Calvary. And we remember what Jesus Christ said to His followers, which applies to us today. Jesus said to them, "If they persecuted me, they're also going to persecute you." Now, we may not suffer some of the same things our Lord had to suffer, but if we take up our cross, His cross, we're going to suffer some shame. We're going to suffer persecution. Maybe it's verbal abuse. Maybe it's ridicule of some kind, and yet we know the Bible teaches about how that the trial of fire will make us genuine in the eyes of our Lord. And we're going to experience those trials if we're truly faithful to the Lord and His way. And then the Bible says that we are to take up His cross and we are to follow. That just simply means by our actions, we are to do what the Lord would have us to do. You know, not everybody responded positively to the challenge that Jesus gave. Remember the rich young ruler? Came running to Jesus, "Good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Don't call me good. There's none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." And the young man said, well, which ones? And Jesus named some of them. Don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery. And the young man said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And Jesus, knowing the heart and the motives of this young man, challenged him and said to him, "If you will be perfect, if you want to be my disciple, you go and sell what you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and you come and you follow me." And to me, one of the saddest scenes in all the Bible is where that young man turned away from Jesus, rejecting him, and he went away sorrowfully. Following Jesus demands action on our part. It involves our behavior. It involves our attitude. It involves the influence that we have before our friends at school and at work by what we say and how we conduct ourselves and how people view our lives. We're to be involved in the work of the Lord, building up His kingdom, realizing that our time on this earth is limited and short at best, and we must do God's will in the brief time that we have left. And then Jesus said, "You must follow me." It has only one model, one teacher, one guide. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14, verse 6. "No man comes to the Father but by me." We have to follow our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I want to briefly, as we close tonight, we've got just a minute, to talk about and emphasize some things about the cross. Jesus said here, if you want to be my disciple, you have to take up the cross. What does that really mean? What does that really involve for us today? Well, I think taking up the cross demands a transformation of our will. Now, that's just human nature, isn't it, to want to do things the way that we want to do them? In our society, generally speaking, we resent authority by and large. We don't like to be told what to do. We like to do our own thing, don't we? If I'm going to follow Jesus and take up His cross, I have to change my entire thought process. I have to put away the mindset of the world, so to speak, and realize I've got to do things the Lord's way. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. There's one mindset. But instead, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the mind's where true conversion takes place. It's in the heart, the mind. It's the idea that I'm giving God my all. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind. There has to be the transformation of our thinking, of our will, to God's will. And then let me suggest that it requires both hands. I just can't half-heartedly follow Jesus Christ. I have to follow Him completely. The Bible says, don't love the world. The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. We can't serve two masters. I wish I'd had time to put this in the slides tonight. I thought about sending an update, but there was a picture in the paper, and I don't remember all the details, but this particular man was pulling this cross across the country, trying to make his particular point, whatever it was. I don't even remember exactly what it was. And you may have seen the picture in the Montgomery Advertiser. But he had a big wooden cross that he was pulling on his back. But the part of the cross, the beam that was touching the ground, had a fancy set of wheels attached to it. Now, even I could pull that kind of a cross. There, attached to the cross, was a place where he could carry all of his belongings, the things that he needed along the journey. I really don't think that's what the Lord had in mind when he talked about bearing our cross, putting wheels on it, making things easy and convenient for us. Jesus bore his own cross to Calvary. Jesus, after he had been scourged and beaten and made fun of, he took that cross to Calvary and he died. And it's not a cross of ease and comfort that we bear. It's a cross that is difficult. It's a cross that's hard. It's a cross that challenges us sometimes to our very being. Sometimes we wonder if we can endure it. And yet Jesus said it's the one that endures to the end that's going to be saved. And then I would suggest as well that it gives us heavenly focus. It gives us a goal, carrying his cross. I close tonight with that passage that we find in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And there the writer of Hebrews had just talked about the hall of fame of the faithful, all those men and women that were faithful to God, men like Abraham and Moses and Enoch and Sarah, all those Rahab, many individuals that lived by faith and died by faith. And as that chapter comes to a close, we take up here in chapter 12, therefore, that's there for a reason. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about those faithful men and women of old. These in the arena of faith, as it were, proving to us that we too can be faithful. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. That's following Christ. Let's run the race with patience, and as we do that, let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame. He endured the cross and has sat down on the right hand of God. I submit to you tonight, if we're going to be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, we must follow him. And we must despise the shame. That is, we must not allow the shame of being a disciple of Jesus Christ to deter us from being faithful to him unto the end. Tonight we're going to